Bennifer is back. Brad and Jen are friends again. And Paris Hilton is somehow still making headlines. 20 years later, we're living in the world that the 2000s tabloids created. On this series, I'm going to tell you the story of a decade of American life through the trash we love to consume. From Spotify and the Ringer Podcast Network, I'm Claire Malone, and this is Just Like Us, the tabloids that changed America. Listen on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by Priceline. When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place, whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long. And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. For me, my happy place is in the Mediterranean. I think I've mentioned that. Maybe it's why I like Love Island so much, because they're right by the Mediterranean. But I just love the feeling of being in the sea, and it's just a great sea. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group. When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals. And you even get to choose your crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save. And for me, I'd love to go on a trip to the Mediterranean with friends. In fact, I might be doing that in the near future. I have done it before, and it was really some of the most fun I've ever had. I went to Sicily. We had some great swimming there, me and my friends. Anyway, if you want to have a similar experience, download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline. Hello, welcome to Bachelor Party. I'm Juliette Littman. We're going to do something a little different today. And what's coming up is me, Mallory Rubin, and Amelia Wedemeyer talking about the Love is Blind reunion. If you haven't watched Love is Blind, I don't know what you're doing. It's really good. Run, don't walk. It's excellent. This is a portion of our conversation. For the whole thing, you can listen to the Ringer reality TV podcast. Check that out. Subscribe, follow, etc. But it's been really interesting to watch Love is Blind in comparison to The Bachelor. There's such different shows, though, both about dating. And we, in this conversation with Mal and Amelia, we get into the differences and sort of, you know, how this show, The Bachelor, approaches things just really differently. Obviously, Love is Blind is much newer, so it gives an opportunity to reset and approach it differently with the knowledge of 20 years of reality TV experience. I also just want to note, it's the same EP as Married at First Sight, so I think if you notice some similarities, that is why. And it's just a great show, and I think it's a worthwhile conversation for Bachelor fans, so please check it out. Hope you enjoy. And here's the deal for next week. Women Tell All is on Monday night, so we'll cover that on Monday night. And then Fantasy Suites on Tuesday night, so we'll have that episode then. Callie and I will do both. I'm very excited. Maybe we'll have a special guest for Women Tell All. I'm not sure. We'll see. But I hope you enjoy this, and thank you so much for listening. Thank you also to Erica Cervantes, who edits Bachelor Party, and to Sasha Ashel, who worked on this Love is Blind episode. And don't forget to check out the Ringer Reality TV podcast if you want more. I'll be back on Monday night. Talk to you then.
Hello and welcome to the Ringer Reality TV podcast, where today we're breaking down the reunion of Love is Blind Season 2. My name is Amelia Wedemeyer, and today I am joined by Juliette Littman and Mallory Rubin.
Woo! Mallory! Woo! I'm Juliette, but can't wait to hear from Mallory.
I'm overwhelmed. It's just such a privilege to be here with you both today.
Okay, because I've been doing all these with Juliette, which I love doing. I kind of know her feeling on everyone on season two. Can you give me a little rundown of how you're feeling about season two?
It's a transcendent television experience. It really is. I feel forever changed by it, forever altered. Mm-hmm. in probably ways both good and bad. And it was hard to believe that it was even possible for this season to match season one. It somehow exceeded it. I know, well, I suspect we'll talk at the end at some point about the ultimatum spinoff reveal, the fact that we are now in the, you know, I spend a lot of time talking about nerd culture and fandom. So I live in the expanded universe world, right? The fact that we are in the Love is Blind expanded universe now is one of the great shared honors of our TV viewing lives. My only real knock on Love is Blind, it's more like how I think it limits our capacity to enjoy other things in its shadow. Wow. Because it's so pure. It's like, if you have really, really, really good sex, like the right. best sex of your life. And it's like, can anything else ever live up to it? Are you just going to forever measure other reality dating shows against Love is Blind season two? I think we will.
The answer is yes. Yeah, definitely will. I'm glad you brought up the extended universe, because I think that's a really good transition to talk about the Lachey's, which we obviously need to do. But just in general, like, this is so smart of Netflix, because one thing that you just said that really resonates with me is like, how do we move on and enjoy anything else? And like, I don't want to move on. Like, I don't know. Like, more people have contacted me about Love is Blind than like really anything else that has happened in pop culture in a really, really long time.
Really?
But, like, people I don't usually text with have texted me like because they know that I'm a fan. And
that is funny.
Like, I don't know. I just feel like this is like an incredibly unifying force. I like will wake up to text messages literally from people that I'm like, oh, I didn't know you were watching that. Just like want to discuss it. And I don't know, like even people you wouldn't expect love the show. It's a really special phenomenon. It kind of reminds me of like Stranger Things season one.
Oh,
where
sure.
People are coming to it in their own time, but it's like a really big deal for Netflix. And you're like, wow, this changes the game, because Netflix had reality shows. We all have watched dating shows. Similarly, nerd culture existed. Netflix had shows, but then Stranger Things came along and just fucking changed the game for them. And
once we entered the upside down, there was no going back.
Yeah. Exactly. And it became a real cultural touchstone. And I think we're in that territory again. I am not joking.
No, I believe you. I mean, it is crazy, because like this, I have a cousin who I love dearly, but we're born from different times, and she's watching it. So it was fun to connect with her about it. And
Older or younger?
I'm seeing it younger. Yeah.
Oh,
younger.
Interesting. Because I don't know a lot of young people, because I'm old. So like, what's the young person's perspective?
She's into it too. She's like watching it. I'm sure all of her like sorority sisters are watching it. I think a lot of young people are really into the show. I know people all over Twitter that I didn't think were into it are into it as well. So
have you guys noticed Nick Viall trying to insert himself into Love is Blind extended universe?
Yes.
Yes. I support it.
Okay.
Good for him.
It's a good pivot. It's a good pivot.
Mallory always supports Nick in everything he does.
As you know, I track his Instagram closely to monitor how many new tattoos he's gotten every week.
A lot.
Oh, God.
And I track it with great interest. So it was hard to miss the Love is Blind content.
He's a new man. It's just a great, great show. Mallory, it's so great to have you on board.
Seriously.
It's a thrill for me.
A thrill.
Okay. So, yes, can we talk a little bit about the Lachey's? Nick and Vanessa, they were here. They were earning their paycheck today. As in the day it was released.
The finale,
The finale, or the reunion.
Excuse me, reunion.
What did you guys think of their presence? I mean, they were stern. To shake, obviously, but.
Well, I loved it. I've been listening to 98 Degrees for hours ever since. So, first of all, I feel that there's just something that is a big industry trend that as a society we need to work on, which is 4K technology is outpacing male makeup on television.
Oh,
I've now noticed this. I've noticed this with Owen Wilson in Marry Me and now Nick Lachey in Love is Blind season two. I love 98 Degrees.
Yeah.
Like they're my first concert. I live for them. And
same.
They were male?
Wow.
Where was the concert? What if it was the same one? Was it the one at George Mason?
No, it was at the Beacon Theater.
Okay.
When we were in seventh grade?
Eighth grade?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
gosh, they were my favorite. Incredible. They were my boy band of choice growing up. My childhood bedroom was plastered with pictures of them from like J14 and Tiger Beat. But
my gosh.
I was not a, I mean, I loved 98 Degrees in general, but I wasn't a Nick stan. I was a Jeff Tim.
I was going to say, were you Jeff? Because Jeff is the hottest one. Yeah.
Loved him. Jeff is the Chippendales one. Did you ever see him at the Waffle in Hollywood? Because he went there a lot.
No.
We discussed that previously. Anyway, I just was like, I just think that like as an industry, the makeup people of America, really internationally, I know they can handle it, but I do think there needs to be some new makeup for men. Like Vanessa looked amazing. I just like absolutely flawless. And I think that like entertainment production professionals know how to make women look their best on TV, but I don't think they know how to do it for men. And I just think that they deserve more attention. So that was kind of distracting to me. But beyond that,
A-Rod's makeup company turn the tide for men in makeup?
But I love that, you know, estheticians can be paying attention to all people, not just women. Let's normalize
New
makeup
market.
For men.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But, okay, sorry. I totally interrupted you. Yeah.
No, you didn't. I've just been talking for a long time. But that said, appearances aside, love, is it blind? I mean, I think we've got some questions on what is the point of this show. It's sort of like Apex Mountain. Is the point of the show to find love? Is it to find a spouse? Is it to find out if love is blind? There's a lot of different opinions circling out there. Vanessa, her anger with Shake really resonated with me, and I felt like she was all of us. But I just like absolute net positive from the Lacheys. I loved their presence. I love that Nick let Vanessa really lead, even though obviously he's Nick Lachey. And I don't know. I love them. This is great. And they are the biggest winners of the expanded Love is Blind universe. It's unbelievable.
Well, especially because now they're going to be hosting that other show.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. It's unbelievable.
Wild. I mean, I maybe that's why they weren't around for this show, because they were busy hosting the other show. Honestly, I think that might be it, because it premieres in April. It's very soon.
So soon. I can't wait.
It's a month away.
I can't wait.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the love triangle
Before that, Mal, what did you think about them?
I thought they were great. I was shocked by the volume of their presence, by how actively they drove the conversation. But I think it was really sound strategy, because if that had not been the case, and then we had gotten the ultimatum reveal and seen that they were hosting that, and had seen them previously for like a total of 7 minutes in season 2 of Love is Blind. That's just my headcanon for what the runtime was. But that feels probably not far off to what it was heading into the reunion. It would have felt, I think, like bizarre.
Yeah.
But this kind of, it was like preemptive validation for the choice.
Sure.
For their continued presence as our stewards and guides through this social experiment. The number of times people said experiment, I wonder, I really hope no one out there had set like a drinking game in advance, you know, take a shot every time you say the word, hear the word
You're
experiment, that would have gone quite
seriously.
Poorly, quite quickly. We heard the word experiment a lot, but I thought they were great. I loved when Vanessa got, as you already mentioned, like very direct and pointed and heated and had no hesitation, no qualms about calling out Shake. I thought Nick was actually quite forthright with his opinions too. And I thought, I don't want to, you know, overstate it and make it sound like they like achieved something monumental here, but I actually thought that they were like pretty astute in some of their observations. For example, like not a headliner quite like the Vanessa Shake moment, but I thought that Nick, when he made that comment about how he felt like Sal and Mallory were the ones that he couldn't get a read on and couldn't figure out.
Yes.
And like it always felt like there was something happening that we didn't see.
Yes, yes.
That like sparked one of the more interesting responses actually that we got all episode. The only flip side to what was broadly a strong showing from them is I thought there were a couple moments where it actually felt like they were driving a little too actively.
Yeah, they moved
specifically
on too quickly.
Later. Oh. Well, with Natalie and Shane in particular, I was like, just let it, like, let them kind of talk. Let them keep saying things. I felt like, yes, exactly. There were a couple moments where it's like, okay, you're saying you're sad. Is it because thing A or thing B? And I was like, I don't know. My read before you asked thing A or B was that it might have been thing C, but now
sure.
He has to pick one of those two things. So that was, there was maybe just a touch too much of them, actually. But broadly, I thought it was shockingly successful and a great sweater on Nick. Liked the sweater a lot.
He did look great. I thought it was funny they weren't matching because I have to assume that the other couples were told to match by production. But
really? Oh, okay.
I assume so.
Yeah, just, I guess
they
right.
said they happened. Didn't know that the other couple was coordinating.
Right, that's
but who
what
knows?
I was thinking. But
who knows?
But yeah, I thought the way that Nick and Vanessa were a part of this special and how they kind of had to push things along to make sure like the show moved on indicated to me the major difference between the people who go on this and the people who go on The Bachelor, which is like these people, for whatever reason, really did want to find relationships and they actually like felt this stuff so genuinely and authentically that they weren't willing to hurt each other further for the sound bites. And I think that might be some of the editing, like, and I like regirding ourselves for the Women Tell All on Monday of The Bachelor. And it's like, that is just, you know, a way to increase your presence. It has like no actual narrative purpose. And I just thought like that this reunion really laid bare the difference between this and a lot of other shows. And
wow.
I thought it was interesting.
Okay, that's a good point. That is a good point. I guess on that note, one of the things that was laid bare was the love triangle between Natalie, Shane, and Shayna.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. eBay knows that when it comes to jewelry, authenticity is the real gem. When you see the blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, it means your next piece will be carefully inspired by jewelry experts and will always be worth its weight in gold. Whether you're looking to make a statement or build the perfect everyday look, eBay is making sure you get the real deal. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that jaw-dropping piece will always arrive jaw-droppingly real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I mean, honestly, okay, also, did you think Shane had lost weight? Like a decent amount of weight?
Yes.
Anyone else notice that?
Absolutely. He looked really trim. And then I checked out his Instagram, which by the way, he just posted a story today that was like, I have receipts. And that's all it said. What is he talking about? Is that
I don't know. I think it's about Shake.
I don't think it's about him and Natalie.
Okay.
But I don't know what that is. But yes, I noticed that as well, Amelia. And he's been posting a lot of gym videos. But it must be awful to see yourself on television, so it's not surprising. I can't imagine what
that's like.
But
it wasn't like he was...
No, not at all.
You know, bad to begin with or anything. Yeah,
no.
I don't know.
But yes, he looked very, very svelte.
Very svelte. What did you think about his response to being called out several times? I guess, namely, the time when he flipped the switch on Natalie and was like, you should be the one upset. Or I am. So I'm trying to figure out how to articulate this. I found myself like, this is going to sound really weird. Genuinely like moved by Shane.
Sure.
Throughout the reunion. Like my heart went out to him. It really did. There were a couple moments, of course, where I was like frustrated because it felt like he was really actively trying to, and he spoke about this, like be more self-aware. Take and express accountability for the mistakes that he made. And then there were a couple minutes where his frustration, you could feel it. It almost felt like the Venom symbiote in the Marvel canon, the way like it just starts creeping out and it wraps itself around you and you don't want to let it happen, but you can't totally stop it, even though you know you should.
That's good.
And so there were a couple moments later where he was like pushing back on Natalie a little bit. And I think even if like the heart of the point, which is like both people in a relationship are culpable ultimately, not always, of course, but for not being on the same page and that he felt really like compelled to state that there were
that there were things, as you have talked about all season, that there were things that Natalie like either wasn't giving him or was like actively doing that were hurtful. There were a couple moments where he leaned a little too far into like pushing that. Like, for example, when he said at the end, "I'm just really sad," and then went to like, "because I want to hear like I'm a good guy." And I was like, oh, I wanted him to say, "because I still love this person and like really am just filled with remorse that we are not together, even after trying it a second time." I also thought that the like response he had to whatever that weird exchange was about whether he and Shayna had seen each other was...
I'm sorry. He and Shayna have definitely fucked. They're lying.
Yeah, that was troubling. The body language and the facial expressions, and he just seemed so uncomfortable. But throughout the episode, he seemed like so deeply pained.
Yeah,
truly, truly pained. And because that was sad, because I felt bad. And to be clear, I felt really like sad for Natalie too. And then there were moments where like he kept calling out Shake. When Sal said, "Hey, I'm not going to like rehash all of these old things or mention all of these old things," to the receipts point, and Shane was like, "Good man." Like he mostly conducted himself well, I thought. He just seems like broken.
Yeah.
It was heartbreaking.
He really does. I agree. It is quite sad. I thought his facial expressions were just like very alarming. I kind of have landed in the place of like, I wouldn't want someone I know to date Shane right now, but
sure.
I don't think he's a bad guy. I also feel that he probably has punched a hole in every home he's ever lived in. Like, he just seems like he has so much anger that he doesn't know how to channel, and perhaps it would lead to punching the wall. But I also was just like very distracted by his outfit. I mean, the lack of socks on that stage was just unbelievable. Like,
it was striking.
It wasn't. It really was.
Maybe the
little booty socks. Yeah,
yeah, like
the ones that you can't see.
I understand. It's not just about the sweaty and smelly feet and also the blisters. But like, why is this the default look for men now of like cropped slacks and shoes without socks? I thought Sal looked wonderful. I thought Sal looked great. He was socked and it looked really good. I don't know. Just really,
you love a sock.
Really confused me, but I don't know. Amelia, where have you netted out on them? I feel like we've been through a lot with these three. Also,
yeah.
Like, there's so much more to get into.
I know. I didn't like Shayna for a really long time, but I feel for her and for Shane. I really do. Like you both were saying, he is, as Clayton would say, so broken. And I just feel like he still hasn't, and obviously I know there are other things probably as well, but it seems like his dad's death might be still a little fresh, and I don't think that ever goes away. And, you know, he talked about wanting to give grandkids to his mom, and so I think he really wants this. He just doesn't know how to express himself always in the healthiest ways, you know?
Yeah. And he did say that a few times. He said that he was ashamed. He said he was embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I think that there were kind of two things that like were almost equally palpable. He is still heartbroken that this relationship didn't work out.
Yeah.
I think he's also really confronting watching himself and seeing his behavior bear out, right? And like that doesn't, again, I think we're all on the same page. Like that doesn't mean he's a bad person. People are flawed. That's why we're human beings, not to
sure.
go all Nick Lachey and observe that we're human beings, but that's why we're human beings. We're flawed. People make mistakes.
It's
and
true.
To his credit, I think he's trying to like become more self-aware and reflect, but it seems to be a challenging thing for him to really like stare that in the face. And it would be for a lot of us, I think.
So. I totally agree. And I think it's hard, you know, doing it on a reality show and then you get everyone on social media kind of shitting on you. And again, I think, you know, to the point where he was like, "You have to take blame for some of it," was just, I mean, I can totally understand why he feels that way, because he probably did feel attacked and felt like, you know, she has some flaws too, but everyone seems to be picking her side. But was that the most, I don't know, progressive or best way to go about it? Probably not. But
well, especially because it felt like in that specific moment when he was like tripling down on pushing for that, she actually was expressing that.
Yeah.
I thought like she was actually saying, "These are the mistakes I made, and this is how like the things that I did upset you. And I recognize that. So I think, again, he kind of, it seems like maybe like kind of latches on to a feeling and then kind of can't really like shake it. But I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
Well,
I'm
no, still, I think
I'm rooting
so.
For those two.
I'm actually
still rooting for Shane and Natalie to give it another go when I'm they're not. A little bit further away from all of this.
I am not. I don't think they're a good match, but I do like them. I also thought that Shane made a really good point when Vanessa was like, why were you, you had a very different flirtation with Shayna than the conversations you had with Natalie. Oh, God.
That was so uncomfortable. Yeah.
But I thought his answer was like pretty normal. Like, as my therapist has told me, different people serve a different function in your life. And that extends to relationships. Yeah. And also like he's right. Like just because you have a connection with one person on this show doesn't mean that you should stop talking to anyone else. So yes, he handled that last conversation where Shayna finally said like how she was feeling really poorly. I thought until that point, like he wasn't really messing up. I mean, I personally am repulsed by him asking what she's wearing as right. it remains to haunt me. But I thought that was actually a really good answer from him.
No, I know. He took responsibility for things, which I appreciate. And he seems genuinely like a nice person. But, you know.
The most surprising part of that triangle to me is how little Natalie spoke, which yes. indicates to me that she is also really upset. When she did start yeah. crying, when she started talking, she cried. And so it's very raw for them.
Well, wish them the best.